Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast of our January 3rd service. Pastor Dave Scavuzzo's message, entitled When We Can See, spoke of Jesus being the light in our world. The promise of Jesus is that his light would always be there for us, and as we seek it out, it will grow brighter and brighter.
So happy New Year to you. Glad you're here this morning. This is a non-traditional service, but I'm picking a real traditional theme for it, whereby this is the liturgical Sunday of what we call Epiphany, which means it's the 12 days of Christmas. You know there were 12 days of Christmas in the church calendar? Partridge, pear trees, come on. You were with me on this? 12 days of Christmas. Then after the 12th day comes Epiphany, and it's a celebration that God continues to bring light, and he lures and beckons us and calls us to find the manger, like the wise men, after the birth. So, Epiphany. And I went right to the Catholic Common Book of Prayer lectionary to choose the scriptures for it. So these would be the traditional scripture readings for Epiphany. There's two of them today, and I'll read those now. I'll read them anyhow, even if you can't see them. There we go. From Isaiah, and you'll notice, listen real carefully, you'll hear themes that maybe the wise men had access to this, and this is one of the things that helped them maybe to find Bethlehem. Rise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you will see and be radiant. Your hearts shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephrah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They will bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And then from the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you. The word of God for the people of God. Don't know if you can go to a space in your head or your past where you are in complete and utter and total darkness. Can you? Any of you have older siblings who locked you in garbage cans or closets? Well, how about this? When we lived in a particular parsonage, it had a weird door that closed with a sort of a compression thing, and if you rushed it, it wouldn't be rushed. You know those doors? It just kind of closed on its own time, like when it wanted to. So I would go through the garage, I'd let the door go, it would start to close, and I'd get halfway through the garage, and then the door would clump, clump, close, and then it would be utter darkness in this garage. And then I would trip over kids' toys and junk that was left there, and literally the threshold was too high in this garage, and I'd bang over that, and I would think, in 19 years, why don't I turn a light on before I close that door? You would wonder that, wouldn't you? And don't you wonder what sort of idiot your bishop sends to you as a pastor when you can't figure this out all these years? But it was this constant fight I had in the darkness of this garage. One more image, Mammoth Cave. Anybody ever been to Mammoth Cave or one of the great caves in our country or around the world? We went on one of these lantern, old-fashioned tours where you go down 3 miles into the bowels of the earth, and then this guide had you snuff out your lanterns. And there you were in absolute pitch darkness. There was nothing by which your light, by which your eyes might adjust to or see the light. You're standing in pitch, complete, palpable darkness. It has a feel to it. Any of you? Wouldn't you agree? You can sense it. You can almost taste it. You're surrounded by darkness, encased, enveloped. In fact, I'm not claustrophobic. I had an MRI done one time, and it was great. I mean, I was just like all chill with the Muzak, you know, and fell asleep, and they had to wake me up, and I said, you can put me back in there for a couple days if you want. I'm okay with that. But something about me in that cave felt like just for a moment, I just panicked, and I thought somebody needs to strike a match, and I'm looking at the guide, but I couldn't see him. I couldn't see, and finally a match, and then this whole room over one matchlight slowly illuminates, and there you are in this magnificent cave, and you're thinking, I am so glad for light. Something that we take for granted, yet allured and fascinated as pyromaniacs as children, something in us is drawn to fire, light, where it's magnetic. Sunlight, torch, candlelight, neon, incandescent, laser, whatever it would be, from that little thing in your refrigerator that shows you where the munchies are, all the way to progressive field that illuminates the darkness whereby we can play sports now at night. Those of you who are younger are saying, this is a dinosaur. But I'm telling you, people who wrote in these days would have marveled over the light that's been given to us. Epiphany is a celebration that God will not leave you without light, without a star, without some leading, guiding. Epiphany is the church's calendar, a reminder that something will lure you, draw you to a manger. You will never be without a witness, never. A person, a thought, your conscience, music, people, prayer, situation, circumstances. God is wooing, drawing, luring you to find a manger, and if only you get 1 or 2% of the messages, you're golden. You can miss millions of them. The fastest known messenger in all the universe is light. In 1 year, it can travel 5,880,000,000,000 some odd miles. Think of that. Well, no, I mean, try to think of that. If you were to flash a light in a vacuum, it would move around the earth 7.5 times in a second. Light is an amazing messenger of reality that you can either open your eyes to see or close them tight to the mystery of it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I wonder if Jesus had known how amazingly sophisticated he was when he said that. Paul writes to the Ephesians in the passage that was read, you are children of the light and no longer stumble in darkness. And then he intimates the hope of what it might be like when we finally see, even if it's a small percentage of the light that God gives us and the messages and messengers that come to us through the calendar year or through the moments of our lives. I believe that Paul is on to an epiphany theme by which Jesus initiates when he calls himself a light in the darkness or the great light of the world. 3 particular things that Paul says it does. Light brings goodness. Those of you who are open to the messages and messengers of Christ, you will eventually find a goodness working its way through your life that you never realized could be around you. It's really true. There's something about Jesus when you invite him in that makes you less selfish, a little kinder, more loving. It coaxes you out of the darkness of our sinful, lustful neediness. You wonder, oh, then when I have Christ in my life, it makes me more good or better than other people. No, more than going to an ophthalmologist gives you better eyes than your neighborhood. It just might give you better vision to see yourself and the world around you rather than a comparative mechanism. So people are like stained glass windows. We really are. When the light comes inside, there's something sparkly, radiant, beautiful, luster-filled that you wouldn't otherwise have. A stained glass window without light in or behind it is just a dark piece of glass. Once, Paul said, you were in darkness, and now the light has come. The moral confusion begins to fade a bit. We are given over from our fears and lusts and whims of immediate desires, knowing that light can heal us, and we no longer need so many trophies, material things, our pride and moments of anger to manipulate and control people. There's something of goodness that comes to us when we follow the light of Christ. Light is nature's natural Prozac. I mean, you wouldn't know this because you live in Cleveland, but if you were around light, sunlight, there's a natural sense that physiologically and emotionally it heals you and brings goodness. Next, Paul says light brings righteousness. That's a churchy way of saying it puts you right or into right relationship. So God has done something in Christ and through his wooing and drawing that you could never do for yourself. He's put you right, made you blameless, just, and made your standing in his eyes as a child to him when you accept Christ. Last night, I was coloring with a six-year-old and just kind of trying to stay in the lines, picking my color palettes very carefully, just having these moments where your head just kind of drifts and conversation is easy, and in the middle of it, my granddaughter says to me, Papa, what if you don't love Jesus, though? Like out of the blue, like out of nowhere. She saves up, I think, her Jesus questions for me. I said, oh, honey, it doesn't matter that much if you do or not. It only matters that he loves you. And there is nothing you can do, nothing you could do that could make him love you more. And there is nothing you could do that could make him love you less. He loves you. She said, that's crazy. God's crazy. I said, yes, honey. Yes. Yes, he puts us right with him and puts us right with each other. If only we would see one tiny spectrum of his visible presence in our life. Isn't this interesting that only 2% of visible light the best eyes ever pick up in the naked eye? Did you know that? Maybe you did. Waves longer than red are infrared or heat. Waves shorter than blue are ultraviolet, radio, and microwave. So the good natural eye can only pick up 2% of the whole spectrum of what's happening around you right now. You can believe this or not believe this. It doesn't make any difference to the reality of it. There is stuff going on you around you right now that you have no idea of physically or spiritually. If only you could pick up the 2% spectrum, you would be enchanted, overwhelmed, enthralled, and brought to a manger to worship. You really would. Lastly, light illuminates what is real, what is, or the truth. Paul says that from light comes goodness, righteousness, and truth. Some of you might be panicked when you hear that light reveals what really is. But in the presence of real love, there is no shame or guilt. There only is what is. In the presence of real light, you know that there is this mystery between what Descartes thought once was a wave, what another said later was a particle, what Einstein said has a dual nature. That light can go over things and around things and through things and behave like no other element in the world. Do you think Jesus knew that when he linked himself to this? I wonder, was he saying this? You can run, you can hide, you can put up mirrors and mirages and smoke screens, but God sees through all of it. He knows what is. And eventually, he will reveal what is. And for those of you who love Christ, you're relieved. And for those of you who haven't learned to love him enough, there's a little bit of panic. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful that God illuminates carefully instead of all at once like a laser beam to blind us. aren't you? I mean, like, this is mercy to you, is that God begins to show you who you are and what other people, but you don't get it all at once, or you'd be dead or blind, like this. It's mercy that God has only shown me what I need to work on for now. If I really knew, it would be curtains. I think it would be curtains. People who say, I like brutal honesty, sometimes I say to them, what do you like more, brutality or honesty? Because love, real love, it lures and beckons. It doesn't blind or overwhelm. It gently coaxes out of what was into what might be. I am married to this lovely person who has learned, who's learned me and then helped me to love her in ways that I never knew how to before. She'll say things like this. She will, sweetheart, is now a good time to sit and talk about something that could be a little difficult or you need time for later? And then, like, I'm sort of curious, so I say, well, now's okay, but already I've been disarmed. Already I'm open. Already I'm so grateful that she doesn't nag and pitch and yell when she has every right to. So the other day, I was shopping, ran into one of those mirror, I think it's a girl mirror, but I'm not sure if guys use them too, but I don't. I usually just kind of look in the mirror real quick, do my thing, and move on. But have you ever seen these mirrors, like whoom, like, and then it makes your face like real big, and your nose is about like this, and then you look and you think there are pores inside of the pores. Have you ever seen these things? That, I mean, do you feel sorry for people who look in these things? And then there, to make it worse, there's lights that go all the way around that blare, and you look in there and you think, no, dear God, that cannot be possible. I mean, unless you're 16 or something, right? I mean, aren't those a horror? Can you imagine just walking around and pointing out people's flaws or having yours pointed out like that all day long, then a quick glance and a move on? I wonder, as I'm wondering, if this isn't God's way of using metaphors like light so that we would be gentle to each other, but that we would coax each other out of where we once were into what we might be. This Sunday, as we approach Epiphany Communion, you might whisper to God, those of you who have the courage, oh God, shine your light on something that needs shifted and changed and healed and opened up. Expose me and love my motives and test my actions. Hold me to the light and see what's real and what is not. Maybe today you'll approach this communion and you'll just simply be thankful for the mercy of God, where you don't walk with a magnifying glass on your soul for everyone to see. Maybe today you'll ask God, please give me an acquired taste for light, an acquired taste so that my eyes can adjust to it and I can grow to awaken to the color and palette and beauty of the life of Christ. Maybe today you'll just simply say, oh God, awaken me. I've been sleepwalking and fooling myself with my own sinful junk, and it's time to wake up and come home. Let me close with this quick illustration. So my mom, when we were younger, she had she gave us two opportunities to wake up before she really woke us up. We had alarm clocks, and they would go off, you know, and then you'd bang the snooze thing and sometimes click it off, and when you're really in a mood, sometimes I'd just pull it out of the wall and throw it, right? Especially on winter mornings on a Saturday, and you think, I just need to sleep in a little bit. And then, if that didn't work, she would throw the covers up, and she would tickle your feet, and she would sing these crazy morning songs. And if she weren't so cute, we would have killed her. But number three would have been this. If you didn't respond to those first two loving invitations to get up and get moving, she would run down the hall like a cat, this little strong body of hers, and she would jump on us. She would. And then she would start to kiss you. And then you would go, oh, all right, I'm getting up. I'm thinking we have chances to respond to the wooing of God. And if you wonder why you're in pain some days, sometimes I think it's because he loves you enough to say, I don't want you to sleep anymore. It's time to get up. It's time to get out from underneath the covers and change and grow and stretch and belong more fully to Christ. It's time to see colors and palettes and new beginnings and fresh hopes of goodness and being put right with God and others, and to see realities about you and the world around you.